should a charitable arm of the Catholic Diocese of Superior have to pay into unemployment insurance in the state of Wisconsin? That's a question now facing the state Supreme Court and its new liberal majority. It's Tuesday, September 12th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Anya Van Wagtendonk has the latest on the state's top elections administrator and her future in the role. Plus, Joe Schultz will tell us about challenges facing Wisconsin's senior care facilities. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court and its new liberal majority will decide if Catholic-run charities organizations should have to pay into a state unemployment program. Rich Kramer reports some liberal justices wondered where to draw the line for exempting such nonprofits, while some conservatives asked about religious discrimination.
Catholic Charities Bureau is an arm of the Diocese of Superior. It operates low-income housing, disability services, and other programs. The Bureau says it shouldn't have to participate in the state's unemployment program because it's operated by the Catholic Church. The state argues the Bureau's activities aren't expressly religious. During the new court's first day of oral arguments, Liberal Justice Rebecca Dallet asked what constitutes religious purpose.
These are some pretty broad principles which are the basis of, I would venture to say, most religions, maybe all religions. So where is that line?
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley questioned whether the state is discriminating against the Catholic Church because proselytizing isn't central to its charitable work. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A manufacturer with a 100-year history in Wisconsin will be acquired by an out-of-state company, but officials say they will maintain their workforce in the state of Wisconsin. Massachusetts-based Watts Water Technologies is set to buy the Menominee Falls-based Bradley Corporation for $303 million. Both companies make plumbing products. In a statement, a Bradley Corporation spokesperson said the company has no plans to stop manufacturing products in Wisconsin. Peter Karstensen is a retired law professor at UW-Madison. He specialized in antitrust law.
A merger that does not raise significant competitive concerns may be very advantageous to both companies in terms of combined company now having a broader range of products that it can market nationally.
Bradley Corporation has been privately owned and family-run for decades. It has roughly 500 employees in the state. A vote in the state Senate committee yesterday could clear the way for Wisconsin's top election administrator to be fired. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the battle over Megan Wolf's appointment comes less than 7 months before Wisconsin's 2024 primary election.
Three Republicans voted against Wolf's nomination. One Democrat voted for, and one Democrat abstained. The two Democrats say that the Senate has no business considering Wolf's nomination because it was never officially put forward by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Democratic Attorney General Josh Call has said the same thing. Nevertheless, this committee vote means that her nomination could now be taken up by the full Senate. A hearing there could result in her being fired. That's because Republicans hold a supermajority there, and many have said they will not support her. But the fight over the legality of her nomination means the whole situation is unprecedented, and it's expected to be taken up in court. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Dairy supporters have argued for years that plant-based alternatives should not be able to use names like milk or cheese. And as Hope Kerwin reports, they're now extending that same argument to a new type of product made in a lab.
Cell-based dairy alternatives use fermentation to create a protein that looks like whey. It's meant to make an animal-free product that tastes like real cream cheese or milk. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and other lawmakers argued in a letter to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that these products don't have the same nutritional value as dairy. And they cost more, too, according to John Lucy from the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
25% of the cheddar cheese is protein. You'd be spending a lot of money to replicate the milk protein and only get a couple of dollars for the whole thing, you know?
But Lucy says the lab-grown products are similar enough to cause a reaction in people who are allergic to cow's milk, which he says is another important consideration for the new product's labels. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
When people outside the state think of Wisconsin, they usually think of dairy farms and breweries. But 15 private and public sector partners are hoping to add biohealth to that list now. They've applied for a regional tech hub designation from the federal government. And if awarded, the state could receive between $50 and $75 million in government funds. Wisconsin's Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's been advocating for the designation since March.
Part of my job is to advocate with the Biden administration. They're going to be making some decisions over the next months, and we want to make sure that they have a full understanding of all the assets that Wisconsin would bring to this.
The state's application focused on its biohealth sector, which had a $32 billion economic impact in 2021. Coming up, we've got a story on staffing and budget challenges faced by facilities that care for Wisconsin's seniors. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, senior care facilities across Wisconsin are facing challenges with staffing and budgeting. As Joe Schultz reports, that's led to an increase in nursing home complaints and, in some cases, to facilities closing their doors.
In late January, Ann Mara learned that her mother would need to find a new place to live.
It was in the middle of winter. Mom is on hospice, and she's 91 years old with dementia, and they're evicting her. It was just disgusting to us.
Her mom had lived in the Emerald Bay retirement community for roughly 5 years. Now, the Brown County facility was telling residents it would no longer accept Medicaid funding for residents like Mara's mother, Shirley Holtz. In a letter, the facility said it wasn't getting enough government funding to pay rising labor costs. Holtz moved out of Emerald Bay in March. Her health started to fail almost immediately.
She had lost like 15, 20 pounds in 10 days that I was gone. And she had stopped eating, stopped drinking, and she wasn't responsive when I got there. And then she passed away.
Holtz died in April, and Mara believes the move played a role. But she isn't the only Wisconsinite who's had to move a loved one from a long-term care facility in recent years. Nearly two dozen nursing homes have closed across the state since 2020. That's according to Leading Age Wisconsin, a senior living advocacy group. While long-term care facilities deal with Medicaid reimbursement that's lower than the cost of care, they also face a labor shortage that providers call a caregiver crisis. Jim Orheim is Leading Age Wisconsin's president. He says staffing shortages got worse during the COVID-19 pandemic.
We saw a lot of really seasoned staff retire, and we saw an insufficient pipeline of new talent moving into these roles. At the same time, we continue to see the aging population growing. That's going to continue to put stress on the system.
As of March 2022, 51% of nursing facilities in Wisconsin reported staffing shortages. That's according to nonprofit health policy organization KFF. There's evidence that the caregiver shortage has led to worse care for patients. Last year, the state received more complaints about nursing homes and assisted living facilities than it had since at least 2018. Matthew Bowler is a Madison attorney who takes on elder abuse and neglect cases. He says his firm has seen an increase in cases over the last year and a half.
That is a result of obviously poor care, but also it certainly does relate to understaffing.
Advocates say the recent state budget increases Medicaid reimbursement and funds initiatives aimed at addressing the caregiver crisis. They are also working with the state to develop a program that would ensure inflationary increases to reimbursement. The challenges facing long-term care facilities have been especially felt in Lincoln County, where Pinecrest Nursing Home lost over $9 million since 2014. The Lincoln County Board is now considering selling the nursing home, which it's owned since the 1950s.
That's the order. So, Renee, Todd, Elizabeth, Pastor Mike.
In late June, about 24 residents gathered at a county building to protest the possible sale. They're afraid it would mean fewer beds for lower-income residents who rely on Medicaid. For Reverend Michael Southcombe, selling the home is not the answer.
To believe that someone will buy Pinecrest, either a nonprofit or a for-profit entity, and keep the same level of service with 70 to 80% of the residents on Medicaid is magical thinking.
Yes.
The protesters turned in a petition with more than 600 signatures asking the county not to sell. Lincoln County hasn't made a final decision, but last month, the board considered authorizing a referendum that would have granted Pinecrest an extra $3 million per year. The county board voted down that proposal 9-13. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Mallory Chang. As always, you can catch us every single weekday morning anywhere you find those podcasts, and if you subscribe, it's even easier. We'll just appear in there every single weekday morning right in that feed. You don't have to do anything else. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.